Some important players have their status in doubt for Monday night's game, and we tell you why this one will come down to the Bucs defense yet again. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you are watching live. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, deputy editor of SB Nation's BucsNation.com, joined by my good friend, David Harrison, covers the Bucs for Sports Illustrated's BucsGameDay.com. And of course, you can check out everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at JYarko underscore Bucs, and at DHarrison82.
So today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And of course, thank you again for making us your first listen or your first view of the day. Maybe your first view or first listen of the weekend coming here 7 o'clock. Locked On Bucs is primetime. That's basically what this boils down to, guys. Locked On Bucs in primetime. So
that's right.
Kind of a new thing we're trying here. Ideally, doing it this way, we will have the final injury report to talk about, so we're not projecting. Unfortunately, the Buccaneers decided to play Monday night when we started to kick this off. So you'll actually have the full injury report on our next episode, but we're still going to give this a run, see how many of you out there are up and willing to join us here at this primetime hour for this end of week, early weekend episode. James, the Buccaneers are in a must-win situation coming into this week, 5-6 with just 5 games remaining after the Monday night football contest against the New Orleans Saints. And it looks like 3 very important members of this Buccaneers team could actually miss this contest. Safeties Antoine Winfield Jr. with an ankle injury and Mike Edwards with a hamstring injury. And, of course, the best tight end on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster, Cameron Brait, who has been suffering from an illness. So maybe the least likely to miss it. Again, it's an illness, so, you know, it could be a stomach bug. It could be a flu. It could be a whole host of things. So who knows? You know, you still have a good amount of time until Monday. So maybe the most likely out of the 3 to make the game, but obviously Winfield Jr., Mike Edwards, Coach Bowles already said, you know, at one point this week that they're essentially planning on going with, the way he said, the other guys. So that's never a good way to put your players out there. But James, take these 3 players, rank them in your opinion as the most important for the Bucs to get back, if they can indeed get any of these guys back.
Number 1, there's no doubt about it. It's Antoine Winfield Jr. All the things that he brings to this defense, when he's been on the field, he's been playing at an all-pro level this season. So losing Antoine Winfield Jr., that leader, that, you know, constant force in the back of your defense, that hurts a lot. Number 2 is Mike Edwards. And Mike Edwards has played really well this season. We saw him go down and have to leave the game for a couple of plays against the Cleveland Browns last week. But again, you know, you're losing your top 2 guys back there. Antoine Winfield, you know, all due respect to Mike Edwards, Antoine Winfield Jr. is arguably one of your best defensive players, might be your best player in the secondary, but Mike Edwards isn't too far behind. He's been outstanding. And then number 3, Cameron Brait, I did run into him at the team hotel Sunday morning. I haven't been sick, but there has been a bug running through my house. So I'm not saying that I got him sick, but I'm not saying that I didn't get him sick.
Wow.
In order to give Kate Otten the opportunity that he so rightfully deserves to be the leading tight end on this offense. And maybe, I don't know, convert a third down or catch a ball that could put you in field goal range as time is winding down in the fourth quarter. I'm just saying, but there is some good news, where Leonard Fournette and Russell Gage do look like they are on the mend and they could return for this game. So, David, which guy is more important to get back Monday night, Lenny or Russell Gage? We haven't seen him in quite some time.
Yeah, we haven't seen him quite some time. But you know what? I think it's Russell Gage, to be quite honest with you. And that's really not shade towards Leonard Fournette in any way, shape, or form. Lenny still has plenty of talent, plenty of ability, obviously, within this offense. And I actually am really, really looking forward to seeing the combination of Rashad White and Leonard Fournette back on the field together with perhaps this new improved role. I went on a New Orleans, Louisiana-ish radio show earlier today. I don't really know where it's from exactly, but they asked me basically the whole situation about Leonard Fournette, because from the outside looking in, apparently it basically looks like this is cruising for a divorce between the Bucs and between Fournette. And I basically said it's on Fournette, essentially. It's basically how do you accept the shifting dynamic of Rashad White being able to chip in more and more often in games, if that is indeed the route that the Buccaneers decide to go. And if honestly, if he chooses not to accept it, it's kind of weird to me, because earlier this season, he literally was reportedly having conversations with these guys, telling them that they need to pick up more of the workflow. So it'd be a little bit weird if Leonard was, you know, was then simultaneously upset about them getting it. But even if, you know, Leonard Fournette is back, I think Russell Gage, just because when you look at what Rashad White has been able to bring to the offense, you know, this unit is still working in very short areas of the offensive, you know, side of the line of scrimmage, which I know is frustrating to a lot of people. But if Byron Leftwich or Todd Bowles or both of them in concert are obsessed with keeping the short area offense going via the run, screen passes, and other short routes, then I think Russell Gage kind of adds the more juice to this unit, if that makes sense. Julio Jones back on the field, getting some double teams, as Mike Evans talked about. Chris Godwin is looking really good. Obviously, Mike is still Mike. So if you now add in Russell Gage and you still have a running back that's capable of catching the ball and doing some things in the short area like Rashad White is, then I think that forces the Saints defense to be a little bit more loose, a little bit more open, and you have the chance for better, like, run after catch, run after contact type of opportunities. Whereas Lenny, I don't think you're getting a lot of Lenny and Rashad on the field at the same time. So it's just one back or the other. So that's essentially the logic I'm using to come to that conclusion.
Well, there should be more Lenny and Rashad on the field at the same time. I've talked about that numerous times on various episodes. I've talked about it on 10 Tampa Bay for the Bucs burning question when they do the blitz pregame on Sunday mornings, that if you're using both guys in the backfield at the same time, it adds a layer of deception to what you're able to do offensively, because both guys can stay in and pick up a blitz. Both guys can carry the ball. Both guys can catch out of the backfield. So you never know which guy you really need to be concerned about. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, trying to come up with anything that will spark this offense, but I completely understand what you're saying about Russell Gage. And Gage is a guy, we haven't seen it in Tampa, but we saw it plenty in Atlanta. He's the guy that can take that short crossing route, that short slant, that quick out, and he can turn 5 or 6 yards into 35 to 40 in a real quick hurry. It just seems like this hamstring has been a nonstop issue for him since training camp. You and I were there in August, and he was missing practices because of that hamstring. And it's been a constant issue with him all year. I don't know if it's the same hamstring or not, but if he can get out there, that does open a few things up, not deep down the field, because they don't believe in doing that apparently, but it does open some things up for some of the other receivers, does allow you to do a few more things, especially if you're able to run four wide and you have Gage, Julio, Godwin, and Evans all out there at once. Someone is going to get lined up one-on-one against a linebacker, and Brady's going to take advantage of that all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. So shout out real quick in the live chat to David. We're not giving up on Fournette. It's, you know, we like putting each other on the spot here. It's like, which of the two would you rather have back if you can only have one? You can't have them both. You can only have one. Like I said, based on the logic that I use there, picking Russell over Lane, would love to have them both back, to be perfectly honest. That would be absolutely great. So yeah, no confidence lost in Lenny. Just looking at ways to maximize this team. Of course, James, we've got some other things that we're confident in that we're going to talk about here shortly. But first, this episode of Locked On Bucs brought to you by Prize Picks. You pick 2 to 5 players with Prize Picks. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, then you could win up to 10 times your money. Pick wisely and you won't win or immortality, but again, you could win up to 10 times your money. That joke went over much better when I wrote it. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the Prize Picks projections. And they offer projections on any sport you watch, including obviously NFL, or else they wouldn't be advertising with this show. NBA, hockey, college football, and basketball, and more. Safe and fast withdrawals, better than a lot of other sites, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports the right way. First time users, you get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 using the promo code Locked On. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On at sign up for that instant deposit match up to $100. All right, rolling right along here on the Locked On Bucs podcast, live on this Friday evening. Again, Locked On Bucs primetime. I mean, what else do you want here? We appreciate you making us your first listener, your first view every single day. Make sure you're also checking out Locked On Sports Today. The games that matter, the biggest stories, go behind the scenes, behind the stories with local experts and insight that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. James, we're going to talk about what we're confident in coming into this Monday Night Football game, but we're also going to talk about what we're concerned about. There are a lot of concerns going around surrounding this Buccaneers team these days, but let's start with the good. What are you confident in?
I'm confident in this Buccaneers defense remaining tough, remaining stout, especially against Andy Dalton, a quarterback that they can be very opportunistic against. We heard the reports about Devin White and Lavonte David kind of leading that defensive player dinner to air out grievances, all of them trying to get on the same page. I think they understand now. I think it's been hopeful for so long that all of a sudden this offense was finally going to kick it into gear. And I think the defensive players are now realizing, look, guys, this is on us. If we are not performing, we are not winning games because the offense isn't holding up their end. So they had a come together moment. They're going to figure this stuff out. And I think they're going to come out hot against the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, it's a bitter rivalry, and it's been very one-sided for a really long time. But you're talking about, number one, primetime Dalton, which is it's rough for anyone who cheers for a team that has Andy Dalton starting a game in primetime. But he's thrown 7 interceptions this year. He's been sacked 14 times, and this defense has the ability to be, you know, opportunistic. I hate to use the word again, but that's what they can do. They can take advantage of this situation, and they can be the ones driving the bus in this one. So it's kind of a them against the world mentality, right? We know that the offense isn't going to give us more than 17 points ever. It's just not going to happen, despite James Yarko's bold prediction that they average 24 for the rest of the season coming out of the bye. We're not getting more than 17 points a game. We're probably not getting more than 14 against the Saints. So it's on us. We got to take the ball away, give the offense opportunities, and keep the Saints out of the end zone. And I think against Andy Dalton, that's exactly what they'll do.
Yeah. Speaking of somebody who once had Andy Dalton on his fantasy roster,
yikes,
and did not pull him for a primetime game when he was leading and ended up losing because Andy Dalton got him negative 5 points.
Yikes.
Andy Dalton's not good in primetime. I'm confident in that, but I'm also confident in the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are still the most talented team in the NFC South. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, you have to at some point have some sort of faith or belief that the best teams are going to rise, the cream's going to rise to the top, right? And I know that not every single NFL season, the best team in the league necessarily wins the Super Bowl. That's a little bit of a different scenario that I'm talking about. But when you're talking about 18 weeks, 17 games, you should, for the most part, get the best teams in the league in the postseason. Now, there are some examples, obviously, right? The Miami Dolphins a few years back come to mind, kind of stumbled into the playoffs. The Washington Commanders at the time, Washington football team, come to mind as well. But this team is actually talented. So you figure this team should be able to, even if it's back your way into the playoffs, this team should be there in the postseason. And look, if they're going to make it happen, this is a game that they should win. And you know, Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints podcast, agrees. We both predicted the Saints to win, which, James, you pointed out, may not be a good thing. Real quick, shout out to Richard. He's confident that the Bucs are going to score 17 points, which is probably a pretty good bet. Also, shout out to JJ, David, everybody in the live chat, everybody joining us live. Make sure you join in on the conversation. Everybody who's listening or viewing later, also make sure you join in the conversation in the comment section.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's time to turn the page to what we are concerned about, because we know that there are plenty of concerns about this team. My concern is Rashad White's workload with the return of Leonard Fournette. Rashad White has kind of revitalized this running game, right? Back-to-back weeks, he has set career highs for yards from scrimmage. He had that 100-yard performance in Germany against the Seattle Seahawks, was running pretty well against the Cleveland Browns, became more of a factor out of the backfield, which was something you called for after the big rushing performance against Seattle because he didn't have any catches in that game. But with the return of Leonard Fournette, how is the split going to work? Are they going to be kind of steadfast in their usage of Leonard Fournette the way they were early in the season, and Rashad White's going to go back to that limited opportunity where he's only seeing, you know, 8-10 opportunities maybe 20, 25% of snaps, or has he earned that 50-50 share of the backfield? It concerns me that because Leonard is back, he's going to get the same kind of snaps that he was already getting. We're going to see a couple of Rashad White drives, but that's really it. He deserves more than that. He's going to help the offense out. I don't want to see him relegated to the role he had in week two compared to what he's done over the course of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a huge concern, obviously, that I have as well. Not just because we're both Arizona State guys, but because Rashad White has legitimately earned his burn here with the Buccaneers offense. So I want to see him keep doing it. And like I said, hopefully Leonard Fournette, you know, we go back to the crossroads moment, you know, during the Super Bowl run where it looked like he could be released from the team if he didn't kind of shape up and get with the program. And we all thought that was a maturing moment, right? A maturity moment for Leonard Fournette. And then there's kind of the quiet murmurs by him having an issue with Rashad White getting as much work as he has been. So hopefully, you know, that's more rumor than it is concern, and we can move forward from that. What I'm concerned about, James, is that the offense isn't eating dinner together. And that might sound kind of weird, but look, back in October, Vita Vea went on Richard Sherman's podcast and talked about how they had a players only meeting following the nasty loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's great. You know, look, you never want to have a players only meeting because it means you're struggling. It means you're not doing right. But it also means that players as leaders are taking ownership of it and saying, hey, like, we can't just let our coaches keep getting beat up. We need to come out here and fix this thing. Well, it kind of worked and it kind of didn't, right? But now, coming off this loss to the Cleveland Browns, where I think most people would probably say the defense really didn't have as much to do with the loss and the collapse as the offense, or actually really the coaching staff and how they dealt with the offense did. But Lavonte David and Devin White hosting a dinner for the defense, kind of coming together saying, look, here's where we need to turn our focus. We've got six games left. Here's what we need to do to take care of business. And you love to see that. Todd Bowles has kind of kept the mindset of, this isn't a chemistry thing. This isn't a unity thing. It's an execution thing. But then before practice Friday, they had an extended huddle in the middle of the practice field away from the ears of the media. And Todd Bowles talked for an extended period of time, like more than usual. And then Logan Ryan, veteran safety, talked to the group for an extended amount of time, longer than usual. Those aren't typically things that happen from a group that is in sync and has good unity, right? You know what I mean? So Todd Bowles, I get it. Coach speak, I got it. I'm not even hating on you for it. But at the end of the day, this team is not together. This team is not united, and it's really weird considering how consistent they've been together and how much success they've had together, but it is what it is. So I certainly hope that maybe we're just not hearing the reports of it. Maybe, you know, it's just not getting put out there, and that's fine. I know a lot of people had questions about whether Tom was even involved in that players-only meeting following the Pittsburgh Steelers game. Some of that was said in jest, like maybe he was at Robert Kraft's honeymoon with them. But some of it, I think, is also serious, that you want to make sure that, you know, the GOAT, your team captain, your quarterback, if you're having a players-only meeting, he should absolutely be there, right? So just need to see some more unity from the offense, right? Mike Evans, Tom Brady, obviously, that's a connection that everybody has been concerned about as well. We've got some other concerns. Richard sounding off again for us. Todd Bowles, time management, Brady Evans, we just talked about Leftwich play calling, and then, yeah, mostly O-line. I mean, those are all fitting concerns and a lot of things that have helped derail what should be a Super Bowl contender. And then JJ's concerned about the starting safeties and Chris Olave. The only time of year I don't get happy to see Buckeyes thriving is when they're doing it potentially against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I want all of our fans and our Bucs fans and our listeners and viewers to be happy at the end of this one. But that's what's concerning me, James.
Yeah, my fantasy team would be happy if Olave shows out, but I would also need Mike Evans to equal Olave's production for the sake of our listeners and viewers and Bucs fans. Because if they cancel each other out, my fantasy team wins and the Buccaneers will probably win. But we are going to talk about some bold predictions, our score predictions, and take a look around the rest of the league coming up in just a moment. But first, Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. Find Think Like a Champion now wherever you get your podcast. Think Like a Champion is a brand new podcast from Russell Wilson and Audible. Russ is a champion on the field, but off of it, we rarely know the grind on the path to greatness. Russell Wilson, alongside co-hosts Harry Wilson and Trevor Moad, digs into how high-performance athletes, artists, and leaders push the boundaries of their potential. Here, two-time Super Bowl champion and MVP Von Miller delivers sharp insights about performing at your highest level in moments of extreme pressure, or NCAA champion Tim Tebow discuss how to find your unique personal mission in the world. Each episode features interviews with Olympic medalists, NFL stars, business leaders. Hosts will swap stories and share proven mental techniques that have gotten the world's most elite performers across the finish line and beyond. Available for free on Audible or wherever you get your podcasts. Wrapping things up here on a live Friday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast, and it is prediction time for Monday Night Football, the Buccaneers and the Saints. Let's talk bold predictions. And David, I joked with you before the show started that I wanted to make my bold prediction just that the Buccaneers were going to score a touchdown. Since the arrival of Tom Brady, the Buccaneers have not scored a touchdown at home against the New Orleans Saints. But I'm going beyond that. I'm talking about Mike Evans again, and he's going to win round two. There's the strong possibility that Marshawn Lattimore, go figure, gets healthy enough just in time to go up against the guy that he does not want to get into a real fight with, because he'll lose again. But Mike Evans is going to win this one within the confines of the rules of football. I'm saying 70-plus yards and a touchdown, the first touchdown since week four. I've talked about it before. This time, it really, truly, actually happens. Mike Evans is going to have himself a solid day, and he will get the last laugh against, you know, that awful human being that, you know, used to be a Buckeye and is now a Saint, and we just don't like him.
Absolutely. By the way, Tim Tebow, 7 wins as the Denver Broncos starting quarterback. The first year he was really the official starter. Russell Wilson, not 7 wins.
Carson Wentz has more touchdown passes than Russell Wilson. He hasn't played since, what is it, like week 6?
Week 5 or 6. Yeah, whatever Chicago was Thursday night. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Anyway, my bold prediction is that the Bucks defense, we know that the Bucks defense has been the reason that this team is still in this hideous NFC South division race, right? And they're going to continue to be the heroes of the day. Bucks will win. So a little bit of a spoiler alert if you didn't watch the crossover and don't know my game prediction yet. The Bucks will win, and it will come via a defensive takeaway at some point, third quarter, fourth quarter, whatever it is, that directly leads to points. So here's what I'm talking about. Let's get a little bit crazy with this. It's either going to be a takeaway in field goal range that then leads directly to a field goal. So if the Bucks get a takeaway on the Saints, like 15-yard line, and then the Bucks score a touchdown, my bold prediction does not come true. If that makes sense. Or it'll be a fumble or pick six return that wins the game via that score. If that makes sense. So that's my bold. The defense will win the day for the Bucks, who will also win the day.
You know who's going to get that defensive takeaway that makes your bold prediction come true?
Probably not Antoine Winfield Jr., unfortunately.
No, it's going to be my predictive player of the game, Jamel Dean. JJ, you were talking about being concerned with Chris Olave. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. Do not test Jamel Dean. The man wants to get his bag, and he is playing great football, tied for the team lead in interceptions. And he is going to add to that total and be the sole possessor of first place on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in interceptions. He is going to get a takeaway that either goes to the house for a score or sets up a score for the offense, because even they wouldn't be able to screw it up with as close of scoring range as they would be. And Jamel Dean, big night in primetime.
Looking forward to it, absolutely. Former Ohio State Buckeye cornerback Jamel Dean. My player of the game, Logan, he was at Ohio State before he went to Auburn.
Shenanigans.
Logan Ryan, who officially, technically, still may not play. But I'm going to speak it into existence, because, guys, if Antoine and Mike aren't going to be able to go, this team needs Logan Ryan on the field. Not only that, but Logan Ryan, like I just mentioned, was on the practice field Friday in the middle of the huddle, trying to get the guys together, trying to get the guys motivated to have a nice, hard practice and get ready for this upcoming matchup. If you're watching, if you're listening, if you pray, if you hope, if you wish, whatever it is, or combination of the three, hope, pray, wish that Logan Ryan is available for this game, because that is the only way I see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense being able to withstand the losses of both Mike Edwards and Antoine Winfield Jr. If it's Edwards, Antoine Winfield Jr., and Logan Ryan not on the field, I don't know, James. This Olave prediction or concern that we have on here in the live chat might be a bigger concern than any of us think.
Yeah, that would not be ideal. But I will come to all of you with the final injury report and some reactions to that on Monday's episode, which reminds me, go ahead and send me your questions, your thoughts, anything at all on Twitter. We're going to do a little bit of a mailbag segment since we're doing our final preview today. So send that to @LockedOnBucks or @JYarko_Bucks. We'll talk about who's officially out. We'll talk about what the Falcons do against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then I want to hear from all of you. So send that stuff in on Twitter. But David, let's take a look.
Send it to me, because I will either be at MetLife or on my way to Ray J.
That is right. It will just be me solo. So send it to @LockedOnBucks or @JYarko_Bucks on the Twitters. David, let's take a look around the league with some lines. Thanks to our friends at BetOnline.net, who have more odds, props, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And we're going to start with a very confusing line. The Green Bay Packers are 4-point favorites at Chicago against the Bears. Who you got?
You know, Justin Fields is coming back.
Yes, he is.
I once
said Rodgers is hurt.
That the Green Bay Packers are the third best team in the NFC North. And so far, I'm looking right. This could be the Jordan Love coming out game. I think this is that the Bears get a little bit of an Airbnb vacation away from their landlord, Aaron Rodgers. I think the Bears win this thing.
I'm with you. I'm taking the Bears in this. I think it has all the makings of just sheer disaster for the Green Bay Packers. Let's move on to another interesting one. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 1-point underdogs at Detroit against Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions.
Hey, you know what? Jared Goff is actually one of my fantasy quarterbacks, and he's helped me win 3 in a row in that league. So I'm taking the Lions in this one.
I'm taking the Jags. I will take the immortal Zay Jones and a healthy Travis Etienne to get the job done there. The Miami Dolphins, I'm so conflicted because there are two games that I desperately want to watch on Sunday, but they play at the same time. This is one of them. The Miami Dolphins, 4-point underdogs at San Francisco. Who you got in this one? This is going to be epic.
I'm going with San Francisco. They have the better defense. That's really it. I'm just going with defense here. I'm going with San Francisco just for that. But I mean, it's a toss up.
I'm taking the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I just think that Tua is shifty enough to be able to create something out of nothing, and Tyreek and Waddle have just been out of this world this year. And then of course the one that I will be glued to the TV watching, Kansas City Chiefs, 2-point road favorites at the Cincinnati Bengals. It's Burrow, Mahomes 3. Burrow is 2-0. Who you got?
You know, NFL quarterbacks have never won a game the week after appearing on the New Heights podcast. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Is that like the new Kelsey meeting?
That's the Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce hosted podcast, which is hilarious, by the way. Like, if you're a football fan, you need to listen to the podcast. It is hilarious. It's an amazing podcast. But yeah, they're from New Heights, Cleveland, Ohio, somewhere in Cleveland, Ohio, New Heights. So that's why it's named New Heights. Jalen Hurts went on the podcast when the Eagles were undefeated. They lost to the Commanders that very game week. Patrick Mahomes was just on this podcast this week. The Chiefs have dropped 2 in a row to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the New Heights curse lives, and the Bengals pull off this win.
Patrick Mahomes has not lost 3 games to any team in the NFL, which is a wild statistic to me. It's going to happen this Sunday. I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase find a way to get it done. David, the Bucs and the Saints, you made your score prediction on the crossover episode with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. But for those that may have missed it, how do you see this game shaking out?
Ross Jackson and I both have the Bucks winning. I've got them winning 24-21. Richard in the live chat, Saints 23-20. Can't blame him. Can't blame him.
No. And this is what upset me, is because the first time around, Evan Klosky picked the Saints. You picked the Saints. Ross picked the Saints. I was the only one that took the Bucks. Now you and Ross both take the Bucks, and I texted you after I listened to the show, and I was like, now the Bucks are going to lose. Do you realize what you've done? Look, it's primetime Dalton. That's what I'm going to keep, you know, pounding the table about. It's primetime Dalton. And nobody finds a way to screw things up better than primetime Dalton. So I am taking the Buccaneers 17-13. If they lose this game, I will not pick the Buccaneers to win a game the rest of the season. I don't care who they're playing. I don't care who's in. I don't care who's out. If the Bucs lose this game, I will pick against them the rest of the year. Because if you can't beat this Saints team, you don't deserve to be picked to win anymore.
That is impressive. That's quite the stipulation you're putting on yourself there, buddy.
I told you I was getting bold at the end of this episode, but if you can't beat Andy Dalton in primetime, then
look, they couldn't beat Trevor Siemian either. So it's
this team, they're so, how are you so good and so bad all at the same time? We do have one more score prediction in the chat. Greetings from Germany. 17-10 Bucks, says Christian. Christian, thank you for joining us. Absolutely love that. So
also go to bed, unless you're like working, in which case don't go to bed.
I have no idea what time it is in Germany right now.
Six hours, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I can't math that fast. We are going to go ahead and get out of here. Like I said, I'll be back on Monday. We'll be talking about the, you know, final injury report, officially who is out, you know, react to the fallout from that. And then, of course, send me your questions, your thoughts, your topic suggestions. We're going to do a little mailbag episode via Twitter. So send those to @LockedOnBucks or @JYarko_Bucks. You send it to David, he's not going to see it. He's going to be traveling for the Commanders on Sunday. He'll be at Ray J on Monday. So he'll be a very, very busy guy. But we want to thank each and every one of you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view of the day. For your second listen, of course, check out the biggest headlines in all of sports by listening to Locked On Sports Today. It's available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. Check out David's work over at BucksGameDay.com. Check out what I'm doing over at BucksNation.com. And, of course, follow everything on Twitter, @LockedOnBucks, @JYarko_Bucks, @DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire!